Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go right to the hotline, talk to our good friend, Nabias Wilborn of the Post-Gazette. Nabias, how you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing all right, Paul. How about you, brother?
I'm not bad at, you know, I'm just, you know, trying to survive in a really crazy
man,
world right
all,
now.
Man.
Right?
The pandemic is continuing, man. We're all trying to make it, brother.
We're all just trying to survive, and, you know, we're trying to do it the right way. You know, one thing we could start with, Nabias, is the fact the NFL went to, you know, they basically made it official. They're only going to do 2 preseason games. I kind of have a theory, and I'm just going to ask you your thoughts on this, that some of these changes that we see in sports and in the real world, too, but in sports – for, you know, this year are going to sort of stick, you know, beyond. So I don't know if we'll only see 2 preseason games, but it won't shock me if in the future now we'll see 2 preseason games and they'll try and sneak in and add an extra regular season game.
Well, yeah, I mean, because weren't they talking about in the NFL anyway, eventually extending the schedule with the last CBA, so – yeah, I mean, at some point, these are the kind of things you'll be looking at. Same thing with in baseball. You got the universal DH. That'll probably be a thing that'll stick because that's something that people have been wanting anyway. And like I said, in the real world, like we kind of have some experience with some things happening that people may have wanted to happen, but now are able to slip it in under the guise of the continuing COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be real interesting to watch. You know, I think, you know, it's not just in sports, it's in the real world. I mean, I know a lot of people in the business world are talking about, how travel is going to be different, you know, going, you know, got people that traveled all the time for their businesses, you know, have spent the last 4 months doing, you know, Zoom calls and now companies have figured out, wait, we could save a lot of money and still get stuff done. I feel like that's going to be the most interesting thing coming out of all of this is how, you know, and we can go back to transition back to sports, the changes that were made specific to this year and which ones stick.
Well, absolutely. Even for, you know, with me in sports, I'm thinking about, like, what will this college football season look like? If there is one, if I get to cover it, what will travel look like when, say, you know, Penn State takes on Nebraska, say, you know, they take on Virginia Tech, am I going to drive more places than I would normally fly? And what will that, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a lot of different variables that we all have to factor in. But, two, for me, for the most part, when it comes to press conferences, like, since this thing happened, since March 12th, Penn State has had 2 availabilities a week, and they've all been through Zoom. There may be a chance, even once the season starts, the usual Coach Franklin availability that is in person could be via Zoom. There's a possibility of that. I think the SEC, for instance, they just made their media days virtual, which, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to it. It is quite the show down there in Alabama. And that won't be happening in person because, I mean, you can't have that many media people and those many fans, you know, down there seeking autographs of Nick Saban and that whole crew. So what would that look like? Even if there is a football season, what will – I know at UGA they had the dog walk, and I'm pretty sure Penn State has something similar to from when their players get off the bus to walk into Beaver Stadium? Can you have those kind of gatherings? Can you have tailgates? I mean, there's a lot of questions, Paul, a lot more questions than answers, man.
No, there absolutely is, and we're talking with Tobias Wilborn of the Post-Gazette. Tobias, I think it was Sandy Barber, and, you know, obviously that's the team you cover, Penn State, right now. Sandy Barber said they tested, I think, 105 or 106 athletes, and they had zero positive tests. That seems rather amazing going with all going on right now.
I mean, I think the University of Maryland, maybe one other school that I've seen that has had student athletes come back and had zero positive tests. Now, to be fair, it's important to note that they had another 60 or 70 athletes come back. This was men's and women's soccer as well as women's volleyball that have come back in the last week that got tested earlier this week. The results for those tests aren't back. But, yes, that first group of about 120-some-odd student athletes, they all came back. They all had negative tests, which, I mean, you had kids like Jonathan Sutherland coming from Canada. You had several, I think four or five kids coming from Canada, for instance. You had kids coming from Florida, which is, of course, a hotspot, and different places down south, which have become hotspots. And, yeah, they all come back so far, and they've been able to not have any positive tests. So that could be a really good sign to what the kids were doing, not only coming back, but really since this whole pandemic started up, doing their proper social distancing, wearing masks when they need to wear masks, and also, too, just washing their hands and everything else. Now we will see what happens with this next wave of tests Penn State will make. According to Sandy Barber, the athletic director, they will have another update with the student athletes in 2 weeks. So I guess we'll find out what the results of these other 60 or 70 tests are. And so far, Penn State appears to be ahead of the curve when considering what down at Clemson, where you had 20, 30 kids test positive. Alabama's had kids. I mean, Houston, University of Houston, had to shut it down. You go into the NBA, the Denver Nuggets have to shut down their facility for a couple of days with three positive tests. So, yeah, no, I mean, for whatever it is that Penn State has managed to do with all their athletes from all these backgrounds to come back with zero positive tests so far, seems to be doing something right.
Yeah, well, I think so. I think that it is interesting. I don't know if you heard Boomer Esiason's comments about Clemson and Alabama and then LSU and the SEC teams and the fact that they have so many positives that he basically rolled out a conspiracy theory in some ways that, you know, they're going for herd immunity, almost accusing them of purposely, you know, exposing their players to the virus. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of dirty things.
That's weird rhetoric, man, and that's some stuff I don't even want to give that the time of day. I mean, look, he was a great quarterback when he was a player, and I'm sure he does a good job on his radio shows, and obviously with CBS branding here, I don't even want to get into that. But what I will say is that maybe when it's Clemson or Alabama, I mean, these guys are from some of these lot more of the athletes are from these southern states where the restrictions were a little bit less, that opened up a little sooner. So that could be more of the reason rather than like some type of herd immunity, because there's also cases of people getting the COVID twice and having infects. So I don't think you'd want anybody being purposely implanted with the COVID, man. Not in these days, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you think about all of the liability and all of the different things that could, I mean, you know, if you play it out, which what he's trying to say is, you know, they want to develop herd immunity and get everybody, you know, to the point where they're not going to have guys get sick or get, you know, positive during the season. But if you play it out and you say, okay, they expose people to the virus, if there's one kid on any of those teams who has any underlying condition that they really, you know, didn't quite know about,
yeah,
and something serious happens.
I mean, it would basically be, you know, I guess the 2020 version of the Tuskegee experiments, pretty much. I mean, yeah, I would. I guess nobody would have thought that would have happened back in the 1920s and 30s. I would hope that our society has at least progressed far enough to not literally be inoculating your big college football athletes who aren't getting paid with these diseases. Like, that's just, yeah, it's insane. I mean, college football is a big deal down south, but, man, I don't think it's that big a deal, Paul.
No, I would absolutely agree with you. Nabias, interestingly, I was talking a little bit about Ian Desmond and what he said about baseball, and one of the things that he talked about was that not only, is there aren't a lot of African-Americans, in baseball, and of course, he pointed to the lack of managers and the lack of general managers, but he said baseball doesn't seem to have a really good idea on how to address that. And I talked a lot about all of the things that baseball has tried to do.
Right.
But part of some of these discussions, isn't it, Nabias, that a lot of African-American kids don't want to play baseball?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one. A lot of it's like this. I think that a lot of African-American kids can't access the sport. I mean, if you are in the inner city, you don't have a lot of money, you don't have a lot of resources. There's not a baseball diamond that's accessible to you. Bats and gloves and helmets and all that stuff costs a lot of money. It takes a lot to practice baseball, whereas basketball can give you a basketball and you can rig a hoop together and you can make it happen. To practice baseball, you got to have somebody throw it to you. You got to have a glove to catch. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you're going to have to improve in baseball. But the real thing to me is that baseball – MLB has decided it is much easier for them to go down to Latin America, find kids from there, underpay those kids, bring them here, rather than investing that money into developing American kids, because that means that American kids have to go through the draft and get some type of overslot bonus. They don't want to do that when they can go down and sign a kid like a Ronald Acuna for $400,000 as opposed to, say, the Pirates when they signed Josh Bell and he got a $4.5 million over slot bonus.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I think that's the thing is there's that aspect of it that I think is a really important aspect of it is, and I referenced Andrew McCutchen and what he wrote in the Players Tribune about why he chose baseball, why he originally was going to play football until he tore his ACL. The RBI program, I think, though, has been, they've tried to
do some things.
They're
making strides with the RBI program. Absolutely. The RBI program is making strides, and baseball has the play ball program that they've really been pushing as far as kind of bringing baseball back into the lexicon of America. Like, if you're of a certain age, a lot of the colloquialisms you use were baseball references, the three strikes you're out and all these different things. But over the last, let's say, 25, 30 years, the colloquialisms have become more football-based, in the trenches and all these different phrases that we use regularly, whether you know the game of football or not. So baseball has to get itself back in the lexicon with all Americans, but I would say more especially young African-Americans, because, the game just isn't cool anymore. There hasn't been, a cool baseball player for real since Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, no disrespect to Cutch, but, Ken Griffey Jr. is probably the last baseball player that was really in the zeitgeist in that way. I mean, Mike Trout is a great athlete, but, I say 10 kids a picture of Mike Trout, maybe some of them recognize him. Or if I say to a group of kids, let's go out and play a game of Pepper, they're going to look at me like I have an alien head. But if I say, let's go play kill the man with the ball or throw him up, bust him up, they're going to know exactly what that game is. If I say, let's go play horse, let's go play 21, they're going to know what that game is. Doesn't matter what culture. But, if I say, let's go play Pepper, let's go do some baseball-related games, most kids aren't even going to know what they are. So that is where baseball has to start with all Americans, with all young people, as this audience continues to get older and, quite honestly, older and wider.
Yeah, Absolutely. You know what? You mentioned Ken Griffey Jr. I had wanted to ask you this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about different things. Is he the most naturally physically gifted baseball player of your lifetime?
I would have to say so. I still think Barry Lamar Bonds is the best baseball player I've seen, but considering what we know allegedly with some of the chemical enhancement, I definitely got to give, like, when you talk about the physical talent, the just literally being born to play baseball, it was definitely Ken Griffey Jr., absolutely. And probably the most beautiful player ever. Classic.
Yeah, I mean, the guy just, I mean, he made everything look so easy and natural.
Blighty,
like, it's a hard sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, and he got up so quick. I mean, remember, this guy maybe barely spent a year going through the minors because he got up so quickly, being 19, and, you know, with his dad finishing his career. Just a phenomenal baseball player, phenomenal athlete, and I can't imagine what he would have been if he wouldn't have had some of those nagging injuries towards the end. But still, one of the great careers, one of the great athletes that was built for his sport that I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, Nabias, thanks so much for taking some time. And, you know, hopefully we do it again soon.
Man, anytime, Paul. You know, you got your money ain't changing.
All right. That sounds good. And that's Nabias Wilborn of the Post-Gazette. I'm Paul Zeiss, 93.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.